of the Santa Clara Valley Water Agency for May 4th, 2021. And our first item is the Pledge of Allegiance. So I would like to ask Director Ozahosky if he would kindly recite the pledge for us. And I'd ask everyone else to mute and say it with along with yourself. Thank you.
It will be my pleasure, President Martin. Please stay seated and please place your arm on your heart, then repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Director Ozahosky.
President Martin, I want to know why the last two people have eliminated indivisible from the pledge.
I don't know.
Supposed to be one country under God, indivisible. No.
Some of the audio drops out for me, so I'm not sure I even heard part of it.
But. I believe I've said the entire pledge, so it could be my audio.
Yeah, some of it was coming and going, but it's a good reminder for all of us who recite the pledge to make sure we say it completely. Thank you. Thank you, Director Ozahosky. All right. Before we proceed, there are our regular announcements, and let me put on my little reading glasses to make sure I catch it all. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with authorizations and requirements contained in Governor Newsom's Executive Order N29-20, signed on March 17, 2020. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak. To avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise, make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera if you have one during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your cameras when speaking, turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members will be advised to use the raise hand feature in Zoom when action and discussion items are presented. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. The public may comment on items covered on the agenda during item 3 or may do so at the time each item is considered and will be limited to 3 minutes per comment. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during public comment, and then please turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via telephone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will re-mute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. We will use the following procedure for approving items and taking public comment. I will introduce each agenda item. I will ask for questions from the board members. Please raise your hand on Zoom. I will then call for public comments. The board may then ask additional questions and discuss further if necessary, including public comments if desired. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each item being considered will be taken by roll call. And at this time, I'd like to pass it back to the Madam Secretary to call the roll for attendance.
Before you do that, Gary, can I interrupt you?
Yes, please do, Vice President Gladbeck.
Okay, our phone system, internet, TV, everything's off. So I'm having to sit in a little place. So this is the first time I've been able to connect with you where I could hear you and you could hear me. So, okay.
Thanks for the warning, Jerry. You know, April kind of warned us about that, but I'm glad you were able to connect.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, okay. April.
You're welcome. April, please proceed.
Okay. Director Cooper, are you present?
I'm here.
Director Colley, are you present?
I'm here.
Director Atkins, are you present? I'll come back. Director Plambeck, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Director Bronstein, are you present?
Present.
Director Kelly, are you present?
Yes, Madam Secretary.
Thank you very much. Director Ford, are you present?
Present.
Director Olsafosky, are you present?
Present.
Director Armitage, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Gladbeck, are you present? You're muted, Vice President Gladbeck.
Yes, I'm present. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Mortensen, are you present?
Present. Good evening, April.
Good evening. Try one more time. Director Atkins, are you present? President Martin, are you present?
I am present.
Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you. At this time, we can move to item 3, public comment. I'd like to remind the public that those on landline hit *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute. For those on a device such as a computer, smartphone, or other, to raise your hand. So, April, are there any members of the public who would like to comment at this time on item 3?
There is, just one moment. Ms. Noltmeyer, hold on just a moment while I share my screen here. Ms. Noltmeyer, go ahead and hit, is it star, my gosh, I please, *6 to speak. And you may start your public comment.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
All right. Yes, I just made a quick comment, mainly for the-
Yeah, I'm on the water board meeting.
I'm sorry, what is the matter?
Ms. Noltmeyer, go ahead, you can continue.
I have just, it's basically for the new members of the board. I wanted to bring to their attention the very, very large debt that the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency has. I don't know if you know about it, but it is like $287,785,186. At this time. That was in January 13th of 2020. So it might be more now. But basically what you have is the Santa Clarita Water Agency functioning on a debt that they just kind of keep renewing. And I find that very strange for an agency as large as this to be functioning in that matter. And I thought maybe you should be made aware of it. I brought it up in the past, and that is a concern. The other thing is I do agree that there should be a discussion on Devil's Den, and that should be brought forward because at one time when you were before LAFCO, I think you were told to get rid of that. But it's two items that I wanted to make the new members aware of. And hopefully they will start a hearing to the public request to have these things addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer. April, do you see any other public comments?
I do not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 4, approval of the agenda.
Oh, I'd like to President Martin, it does appear that Mr. Petzold does have a public comment.
Mr. Petzold, please proceed with your public comment.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before you tonight. I have a couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention. Number one, I think that it's really time that you open up the conservatory garden at the top of the hill there. This COVID-19 is going away. The park is open. People are vaccinated. They're not wearing masks. I have no idea why you are not allowing the public into the conservatory garden. This really looks like a military base or a military operation with the guard shack and the extreme fencing around the boundaries of the facility. It would seem to me like you should become more friendly and extend yourselves out to the community. It's time to bring the people back. It's time to have public meetings in your facility there at the top of the hill. It's time to open the conservatory garden. This is vitally important to the people of Santa Clarita that we get back to a period of normality, and you can lead the way rather than keep your gates shut and your guard shack in place. So I also had an opportunity to review the notice of proposed rate changes. And while I understand that's not on the agenda tonight, I'm calling to say that I am confused that they're about the rate increases. Certainly when you acquired the Newhall County Water Company, my impression was that the savings that you had from that acquisition was going to offset any future rate increases. Yet here we are in 2021, and it looks like over the next 5 years, you're going to increase the rates substantially to us here at the public. So I want to know, where did the savings from the acquisition of Newhall County Water go? And why aren't those being passed through to the consumer? I also didn't see any reference to Waterworks District 36 out there in Val Verde. My understanding is that that area is still part of Santa Clarita Valley Water. And there was no reference in my notice of proposed rate changes for the areas involved out there in Waterworks District number 36. So I did have questions about that. When I was going through the notice of proposed rate changes, I also pulled out my secured property tax bill, and I saw a area on my voted indebtedness saying special water. Now, to the best of my ability to understand this, that money goes to Santa Clarita Valley Water for debt that you put on the people to build water facilities. So your notice of proposed rate changes does not include those items that are on the annual secured property tax bill sent out by Los Angeles County. I would like answers to my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Petzl. I will only ask the general manager to respond to the question about the conservatory garden. I think all questions.
You're muted, Mr. Martin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Petzl, for your public comment. I will only ask the general manager to respond to the
Okay, did we lose President Martin?
We did lose President Martin.
Okay, well, while we're, we fortunately have two vice presidents ready to step in, including Vice President Mortensen. Go on the conservatory garden, in addition to the COVID closure, we've taken the opportunity to plan and implement changes at the garden. I think that's been discussed on other committee and board agendas. So I'm not sure it's in a condition to host visitors, even if we were to reopen right now, but there is an active planning and design process taking place to basically renovate the garden pursuant to plans that have been developed and reviewed by the Water Resources, I believe it's Water Resources Committee, it may have been Public Outreach and the board. I'll just add, the guard shack has been there. It's not a function of COVID. It is a function of security for a water treatment plant that has chemicals and other things that there's an element of layered security there, particularly post 9/11. And we do get a periodic review of that and address the level of security. So I don't believe that the guard shack is there to inhibit the public. The public can come through, but it is there to somewhat secure the facility along with other measures. I'll just note, Waterworks 36 is a wholesale customer, and that's why they're not in the rate notice. The rates that Waterworks District 36 ratepayers pay are set by LA County Public Works in their own process, and we have a wholesale water rate that we charge for any imported water that we sell to LA County. So I think I've hit the high ones. The general rate questions, I think, can wait for our upcoming rate hearing, and we have a couple of informational meetings as well on the agenda this week.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. I think I am back.
Perfect.
not sure what happened. I just disappeared, and I'm back somehow. So anyway, thank you very much. April, do we have any other public comments?
It does not appear so.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 4, approval of the agenda. I'd like to make the board aware that item 6.1 has been pulled from the agenda due to the bids for the Old Road Pipeline Improvement paving project coming in under $100,000, which is within the discretion of the general manager and will be handled at the staff level. So with item 6.1 pulled, I would entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
Move to approve Mortensen.
Motion by Vice President Mortensen, second by
President Martin. I'd like to pull 5.3. I have some questions for Mr. Marks.
All right, April, we'll pull 5.3 for discussion.
Are we talking about the consent calendar or the regular agenda?
5.3 from the consent calendar.
Yeah, I know, but are we voting on the consent calendar or the regular agenda?
Right now, we're voting on approval of the agenda with the notation that 6.1 has been pulled. So we will reserve comment on the consent calendar until we get to item 4, Director Ozahosky.
Jerry seconds.
So we have a motion by Vice President Mortensen and a second by Vice President Gladbach. Is there any further discussion on the agenda with the qualification that 6.1 has been pulled? Is there any public comment, April, on this before we call for the vote?
No, there is not.
Very good. Would you please call the roll for the vote?
Director Ozahosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote? Director Colley?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved with item 6.1 being pulled.
Thank you. Okay, now we can move on to approval of the consent calendar. And we already have one request to pull item 5.3 for discussion or presentation. Director Ozahosky, do you just have questions or would you like to see a presentation or a discussion from staff on that item?
No presentation, just questions to Mr. Marks.
Perhaps you could ask your question and we can leave it on the consent calendar.
All right, very well. Mr. Marks, can you open the packet to page 40? That's the last page regarding that item on the board packet, listing all the costs for the new platform for Goldstein. Under the assumptions, it looks like only one person will be using this platform at a time. Does that mean we're gonna have only one workstation for the Goldstein platform?
No. We will be able to have multiple people work from their own workstation, but we can only have one person working at a time. So we have the license will allow allow us to have multiple people to have expertise to work with this product. It's more of a web-based, I think through a web-based application.
Oh, understood. How many of your staff are using the MBK spreadsheet at the moment?
We're probably just two members of staff that have sufficient expertise to use that that existing spreadsheet model, myself and another member of staff.
Okay, you and someone else on your water resources team, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then during the modeling, the building of this model by technical support team, will they be doing that with you and the other person from your staff? You know, my concern is, you know, we're switching from one software to another, and I just want to make sure that we have enough points of contact and SMEs on our staff that can be very familiar with this new platform.
Yep. I foresee that we're going to have two, probably three people on staff that'll be conversant with this tool. There'll be at least three people that will be involved in the team that transitions from the existing model to the newer modeling platform. It's not a straight transfer of coding, if you will. It's understanding all the various contractual limitations that are in our water supply agreements and are implicit in our state water project contract. And we'll be going to a level of sophistication that far exceeds the existing model. So there will be multiple source experts, if you will, that'll be involved in the building of this new model.
Okay. And since this is a web-based program, I imagine all the updates on new versions we automatically receive. You don't have to pay extra for it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's included in the license modeling, which is less than $10,000 a year.
Understood. And then for technical support staff and for the initial modeling development, the average rate is $235 per hour. But if everything is completed within those, I would say, 723 hours, 90 work days, that cost could potentially go down. Is that right?
That's correct. It's basically a time of materials with a cap.
Okay. And do you know which other water agencies are using GoldSim at this time?
Do you have a list? You know, one that comes to mind immediately is the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. I'm not recalling some of the names of some of the other agencies. I think that possibly Zone 7 Alameda County Zone 7 may be considering its use. Okay. But I'm not sure where they landed.
And the $10,000 per year would include training for new users. Is that right?
No, the $10,000 a year is strictly the licensing fee of the training of the new users will gonna come as this model gets developed.
Okay.
You know, as we do the QAQC on this, the agency users will become trained in it.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, Ms. Marks.
President Martin, I wanted to pull two items also. That's why I was asking before. I wasn't trying to bother Director Olszewski. I was just trying to make sure I got my 2 cents worth in there too.
President Martin, you're muted.
All right, Director Planbeck, which items would you like to pull?
I wanted to pull 5.2 and 5.4. And I wanted to say about 5.2, it's actually too bad not to have a presentation on this because it's a good project. And I think it is helpful for the public and everyone to see what we're doing. It's really great that we're getting water out to those folks and that we did it with the grant. But I also wanted to just ask the questions that I asked in engineering and have them reiterated to the whole board, if that's okay.
Okay, so rather than go through a whole set of questions while we're considering the consent calendar, we will go ahead and pull items 5.2 and 5.4 for separate discussion and consideration.
Okay.
So with that, I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar with 5.2 and 5.4 pulled for separate discussion.
So moved, Director Cooper.
Motion by Director
Cooper. Second, Director Ford.
Second by Director Ford. Are there any further discussion or are there any public comments, April?
It does not appear so, but Vice President Mortensen does have his hand up.
Vice President Mortensen, please proceed with your question or comment.
Thank you, President Martin. And I wanted to thank Dirk Marks for jumping in there. My question is, to what extent the institutional knowledge that resides in Dirk Marx's brain will be incorporated into this new model that will be a lasting resource for the agency to access so many of the data points that Dirk Marx himself negotiated and is really the only one at the agency intimately familiar with. It strikes me as good value to be able to incorporate all of that institutional knowledge into a model if that's what's actually going on. Maybe Dirk could comment on that.
Well, I think much of the institutional knowledge that I have as it's applicable to these water resources decisions will be incorporated into the model, but I think that just doing that is a disservice to the agency. I'm working with members of my staff so they become familiar with many of the aspects of the State Water Project and these water management programs. There was a demonstration of that trust and the fact that staff is being brought along. We have many of our staff being project managers for these water resource programs. Sarah Fleury is administering many of the day-to-day provisions in these programs. Additionally, we have Sarah is acting as project manager on their water management plan. Ernesto is coming up to speed on many of the water quality issues that both locally, but also on the State Water Project. Rick Vassilopoulos is now administering kind of the day-to-day administration of our Devil's Den property. So we're making a very conscious effort to facilitate that knowledge transfer. Steve probably provide you some additional perspectives, but we recognize that, and we think by facilitating, bringing staff along on these issues is very important, and we're consciously working on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dirk, because that's very reassuring. I think probably most of us have been concerned about the potential for the loss of what is an amazing database that you possess, and anything we can do to instill it in staff or in these models is appreciated. Thank you, Dirk.
Yeah, I'll just add one thing, since Dirk opened a little window there, but one thing that we instituted, well, it's been probably 2 years ago now, was something we called Dirk University. So it's actually a period of time, and COVID's kind of messed that up a little bit, honestly. But it was a period of time that we dedicated having a set meeting time that the staff could go in, and we would generally focus on, a subject matter for that meeting and be able to drill in and drill much deeper than maybe you would otherwise would in a normal setting, but, purposefully scheduling time to have that transfer of information. And I've personally found that very valuable just for myself. We are doing that, and I hope, as we return to more normal things, we'll get back to that more frequent basis of doing it. So that's all I wanted to add. Thanks.
President Martin, you're muted again.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Steve, for your comments. Director Planbeck, you had a question or a comment?
Okay, well, I had some of both. For 5.2 in the engineering committee, we discussed the fact
we have that a director Planbeck. We pulled 5.2 for separate discussion.
I thought you were asking me.
We are not at 5.2 right now.
Oh,
we are
I'm very sorry. Excuse me.
Is that the? Can you hold your comment until we get to 5.2?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Director Armitage. You have a question or a comment?
Thank you. I just have a couple of comments about 5.3 before we go to vote. I wanted to mention that I was very pleased to see that the future forecasting models will include environmental values and resources in its calculations. So that's the first point. And the second point is I appreciated highlighting the information that the models would be more useful for stakeholder communication. So I very much appreciated that as well, and look forward to see how we apply that going forward. So thank you.
Thank you. Good. Thank you very, thank you, Director Armitage. All right. We have a motion and a second for the consent calendar with items 5.2 and 5.4 pulled. Is there any public comment, April?
There is not.
All right. Would you please call the roll for the vote?
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote? Director Colley? I'll come back to Director Colley. Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Olsohofsky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
I'm sorry, just to be clear, we're voting on the consent calendar absent the pulled items, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
So the items that you're voting on is item 5.1, 5.3, and 5.5.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and that once again is for item numbers 5.1, 5.3, and 5.5.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 5.2, which is adopt a resolution authorizing SCB Water to apply for funding from the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund on behalf of Royce Lily of the Valley, LLC, DBA Lily of the Valley Mobile Village for connection to the proposed pipeline in Bouquet Canyon Road. Please proceed with the item, staff.
Okay. Thank you, April, for pulling up the presentation. I'll go through it rather quickly. This is an update on our grant funding for the pipeline to LARC. In this case, we're ready to officially bring Lily of the Valley Mobile Village on board for the project by way of a resolution to apply for grant funding on their behalf. Next slide, please. So the project will provide reliable water service to two communities along Bouquet Canyon Road in the northeast outskirts of our service area, the Los Angeles residential community just north of Vasquez Canyon Road, and then the Lily of the Valley Mobile Village just north of Shadow Valley Lane. Next slide, please. The project will build a new 12-inch ductile iron pipeline along Bouquet Canyon Road from Shadow Valley Lane up to LARC. The distance is about 9,600 feet or roughly 1.8 miles. The state board, State Water Resources Control Board, is providing a grant for the project. The grant was first initiated solely for LARC. There is a small disadvantaged community that operates a community water system under a state water permit, and they need more reliable water supply. We prepared a grant package for LARC and submitted it to the state for review. As the state reviewed the package, talks were initiated with Lily of the Valley. Lily of the Valley is also considered a disadvantaged community. They operate a community water system under a state permit, and they also need a more reliable water supply. So the state asked us to expand the scope of the grant package to include Lily of the Valley. Master meter consolidation is a term that the state uses, which simply means that we'll provide a master meter in front of the property. They will continue to own and operate their on-site distribution system after the meter, but will be required to disconnect their wells and relinquish their permit. Next slide, please. So if you check the official drought websites, you see we continue to be in an extended drought here in Southern California. As a result, groundwater wells that serve LARC and Lily of the Valley rely on groundwater recharge, and they've substantially declined in their production capacities over the recent years. Also, the curtailed releases from the upstream Bouquet Reservoir, which Steve Cole presented back a few months ago, has contributed to the decline in the recharge and the well pumping capacities. So the need's obvious. Both LARC and Lily of the Valley need a long-term, reliable, and sustainable water supply, and SCV Water is here to help. The project also achieves a state goal of bringing small, struggling systems like Lily of the Valley and LARC into compliance with safe drinking water standards. Next slide, please. So the good news is the grant will cover all the pipeline and master meter costs for LARC and Lily of the Valley, which is estimated to be about $3.5 million. This is retroactive, so it includes planning, design, as well as the bigger bucks for construction and capacity fees. When we size the pipeline solely for LARC and Lily of the Valley, we would install an eight-inch pipeline, but we know that there's other existing residences, ranches, and farms and businesses along Bouquet Canyon Road along the pipeline alignment that also rely on private wells. So we have decided to upsize the pipeline from 8-inch to 12-inch so that these other existing developments can connect because we know they'll be interested. The cost of the upsize is about $800,000, and we've included that in next year's CIP budget. I'd like to mention an important benefit of this grant program is that the state also offers additional grant and zero interest loan that's over and above that $3.5 million consolidation grant, and we can use these for other projects such as PFAS. Next slide, please. So as you know, it takes a lot of work to actually get these grant funds. Here's just a brief rundown of the history of the grant application process thus far. We've initiated the grant application on behalf of LARC back in 2016 by Resolution 3116. We completed CEQA, submitted the grant application, the complete grant application in 2017. That included technical plans, specs, as well as the CEQA documents for review. And then as part of their review, they saw the bigger picture and asked us to expand the scope to include Lily of the Valley. Next slide, please. So as of today, we've reached a major milestone in the process. We recently met with Lily of the Valley and confirmed their intent to participate in the project. It was an important meeting because they actually just underwent a change in ownership from a company called BKKS Holdings to Royce Lily of the Valley, LLC. When we met with the owners, they're committed and they provided us with their own resolution to allow us to apply for grant funds on their behalf, and that was in your packet. So now it's our turn and the state's asked us to bring this resolution to the SCV Water Board so that we can officially apply for grant funds on behalf of Lily of the Valley. Next slide, please. So once we pass this hurdle, the pace of the project should pick up dramatically. We'll finalize the grant application. We'll complete water service agreements with both LARC and Lily of the Valley. We'll complete a funding agreement with the state, and then all of which is in progress now. Then we'll also be finalizing the design and bid package so we can advertise for bids and start construction once the funding agreement is approved. Next slide, please. So with that, this was presented to the Engineering and Operations Committee back on April 1st, and they're recommending that the Board of Directors adopt a resolution authorizing SCV Water to apply for funding from the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund on behalf of Royce Lily of the Valley LLC, excuse me, doing business as Lily of the Valley Mobile Village for connection to the proposed pipeline to be constructed in Bouquet Canyon Road. So we respectfully ask for your favorable consideration. And with that, next slide is just opening the floor for questions.
Thank you, Brent.
Well, I would like to move the item, and then I have some questions.
Motion by Director Planbeck. Is there a second before we call for questions?
Second.
Jerry seconds.
Second by Vice President Gladbeck. All right, please ask your question, Director Planbeck.
Well, these were some of the questions that we asked at engineering committee, that I asked at engineering committee, and I just wanted to reiterate them at board meetings so that they would be on the record. And that is that I was concerned that the pipe expansion would accommodate new development. And I was assured that Skyline Ranch is on a different system and we would not be providing new development. This is for existing residents along the pipeline, and I would just like to have somebody confirm that again. That was what was discussed at the engineering committee.
Okay, Director Planbeck, thank you for the question. Good question. Yeah, the Skyline Ranch is across the valley in a different pressure zone, so it's not too far away to be a factor in this one. The pipeline was sized specifically to handle existing developments, ranches, and businesses along the pipeline route, and not for future development. Plus water age was also a consideration. We didn't want to oversize it for water quality concerns too. So it was covered in CEQA. It was limited to existing developments.
That's one more thing I wanted to mention is that I never saw the CEQA documents on this. And I know that Mr. Director Cooper had told April, please don't send the whole MND to us. But it'd be really great when we're approving these things and we're relying on an old MND that none of us have seen because there wasn't a Santa Clarita Water Agency at that time, that it could get posted, which is not but if it could just get posted along maybe with the information in this packet, I think it would be helpful. And I really think this is a great project getting water out to those folks.
All right, thank you. One just follow up. The packet does include a staff's recommendation based on a review of the MND that addressed the your concern, I guess.
Yeah, but I never saw the MND, and since we're all essentially voting on it, we should have it available someplace, just online. It doesn't have to get delivered to Director Cooper. He doesn't want all that paper, and I understand it.
We can send that to you by email if you'd like, or
okay, or if it could just get posted, I think, yeah, along with the documents, that's fine too. It's probably too big for email.
Yeah, excerpts. Yeah, it's a pretty big document thing.
Yeah, if it could just get posted, I would appreciate it.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right, very good, Director Planbeck. Thank you. Thank you, Brent, for responding to the question and making the presentation. Are there any other questions on item 5.2? And I see two hands raised by Director Armitage. Does that mean you get two questions? Go ahead. Wow.
thank you. One comment and one question. So my comment is, okay, I want to also echo what Director Planbeck said and express that I am glad to see us working with community members to bring clean and reliable water to all community members in the Valley, regardless of resources, particularly those that are, I guess, classified as disadvantaged. And by working with the state to get these grant funds, I mean, it's always nice to align needs in the community with resources, especially when it's grant money, and grant money that we can leverage for more grant money. So I think it's great overall. So thank you. The question I have, and I'm not sure who this should be directed to, so whoever wants to answer it, go for it. There was some discussion in the Groundwater Sustainability Agency a while back, but I'm wondering if somebody can summarize the plans that are being talked about to address the issue of the lack of recharge to the area from the lack of releases from the Bouquet Creek that created this issue to begin with. So if someone could just speak to that, please.
That sounds like an item that might go to Mr. Cole.
Here I am. Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Martin.
All right.
Yeah, I can briefly talk about it, and we can also discuss further offline if you'd like to get a lot of the details. But yes, we have been actively reaching out and engaging with the principal parties that are responsible for the releases, which is the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And they actually held an agreement with United Water Conservation District, our downstream neighbor. Those are the two parties that hold the actual legal agreement of how that water is supposed to be released. The challenge of releasing it has to do with the roadway. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but that wraps in Los Angeles County Public Works in the Flood Control District. So they are the ones that are taking the lead role in trying to resolve the issue of the roadway and the flooding, which would then allow the releases to begin. They have done some temporary kind of improvements that have allowed the releases to return to about half of what is contractually obligated to be released. There is some water coming down the creek now, but to get to that full amount, there's going to need to be some pretty significant improvements to the road and the creek itself to handle the amount of water that needs to be released. So short story, you know, it's a complex issue. There are many stakeholders involved, including fish and wildlife, forestry. There's a lot of work that has been done, but there's a lot more that needs to be done still to do that. And we're trying to be a partner in that arrangement.
Thank you for that great summary.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Director Armitage. Any other questions or discussion on 5.2? We do have a motion and a second. I will ask for public comment.
We do have public comment.
Please go ahead with public comment.
Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment.
Cam Noltemeyer. Yes, I'm just wondering if any of you actually drove by this particular Valley Mobile Village property. Have any of you? Because we did, and we noticed one thing about it as far as mobile homes, that these are all very old, single style, not the doubles, not the beautiful ones you see in the ones in the city here and that sort of thing. And that concerned me a little when I looked at the actual documents, and I can't find that right now. I was daydreaming because I thought this is going to go very fast. I looked at it, and it looked like there could be a name change in there. And that concerned me because I know of different areas in our valley where people buy up these older trailer parks, they call them then, mobile homes, they call them now. But and this looks more like the old-fashioned trailer park. And that concerns me a lot when I see a name change in the actual document. And I just want to make sure that isn't what's happening here, and that they will be in a year or so suddenly buying out these people and moving them off of there and developing that property in a different manner, or for bigger mobile homes that they get more money from, whatever. And I don't see that caution or concerns in a lot of things that are being done. It's just very quick to do it. Isn't it wonderful? But I really think you should look at the actual document that's being signed and see if there is any kind of name change in there and that would change this in the future for them to then change the actual purpose of that land. I know that Plan Book was trying to get to that, but when I looked at the property, I thought to myself, this is just the perfect property for that type of, and especially when you can go and get to funding to get your water supply to it, which is a big, big issue there. And I would really hate to see that happening to people in the trailers or mobile homes that are there, just to a couple years from now find that they are paying them to get out, and then they come in with this great development.
Ms. Noltemeyer, thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you, Ms. Noltemeyer, for your comment. Are there any other public comments at this time, April?
There is not.
Can someone respond to Ms. Noltemeyer's question? Because I thought that was a really excellent question, and I am familiar with that mobile home park. I have driven up there, and I know that it's one of the places that people can find to live that inexpensively. So it would be a sad thing to have it converted to something else. And perhaps Brent could comment on that.
Sure. Go ahead, Brent.
Director Planbeck. So good question. And we have met with the owners, and there are some, and the property managers. We are, and the state is part of this, the meetings with them. And so we will be entering into a long-term water service agreement with them that has all the terms and conditions. And so I think that'll be our key protection. They're excited about the project. They need the help because their wells are in.
Yeah, they need the help.
And so I think that'll be our protection, I guess, against the agency from repurposing that land. But there's, at this point, it's well established, and with owners, there's 182 units, and so that'll be our primary protection, I think, is just a long-term contract.
Okay, that's good, because I would feel bad if I thought we were doing something really good for these folks and then they all got turned out for some kind of development. And I actually did not think of that. So I'm really grateful to Ms. Noltemeyer for bringing it up. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. If we have Do I have Director Atkins with his hand in the air? So go ahead, Director Atkins.
Thank you, President Martin. I just am so happy to see this finally come to fruition. We've been working on it for years. And I just wanted to say well done, staff. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Unless there's any further public comment on this item, we have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Olsohosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Item 5.2 passes, and that is resolution number SCV-208.
Thank you very much. We move to item 5.4. Item 5.4 is a receive and file, so we will not have a presentation. So please, Director Planbeck, ask your questions, and then we have Mr. Campbell, I believe, on the meeting, and Chairman Mortensen from FNA Chair available to answer a question if we need. So please ask your question.
Well, I'm not sure there are questions that they can answer or can even be answered in open session, but I am concerned about the Nossaman bill at $278,000. And in November, the Nossaman bill was divided up between the different agencies, and it was about $260,000. And I'm just wondering what is still happening that we are spending so much money on this attorney firm and the PCORID issue still. I thought we had that somewhat under control, and I'm wondering if we can have a closed session item on this, or if somebody wants to explain why it's all being billed to the regional system this time and it was divided up among the divisions the last time. I'd be interested to know that. It's a huge amount of money.
I see Mr. Campbell has unmuted himself, and I see Mr. Stone has turned his camera on. So I think it's probably going to be perhaps a couple of responses. So whoever wants to go first,
I'll try to cover some of it. There's more than one proceeding that's in play right now. And I think I can speak to public information that we have filed an additional suit for additional perchlorate and VOC contamination, which I believe the board approved some time ago. And we are nearing that point in the process where you're getting closer and closer to your trial and or settlement date. And so it is a time when there is a lot of paper flying back and forth and depositions and whatnot. So the other piece is we also have an arbitration proceeding for interpretation of the existing contract and some contested expenses, which I believe the board has been briefed on as well in closed session. And that arbitration proceeding took place last week. And I think there's some briefs to still be exchanged, but that should be wrapping up and we'll have an outcome. And I will note too, I think as public knowledge, there was a settlement with one of the parties in the perchlorate VOC, in the VOC case, which netted us $3 million, just under $3 million. Which will help cover some of those expenses. But that's kind of a capsule summary without, I think, revealing anything that isn't, you know, apparent or, you know, would be strategically compromising.
Yeah, thank you. It just said perchlorate, so I wasn't sure that it was the other suit too.
Yeah, the VOC suit includes perchlorate. So there was the additional contamination that moved to another well. So it may be.
Maybe in the report, they could say perchlorate and VOC, so people wouldn't know that it's just perchlorate going on and on and on and on, right, as I was thinking. So thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Sure.
Thank you, Director Planbeck. Thank you, Mr. Stone, for your response. Are there any other questions on item 5.4 before we call for a motion?
Oh, I guess my last question was, why did it get divided up in November and it's not divided up now? And maybe Eric was going to speak, or did you want to speak to that, Mr. Stone?
I'm sure Eric or Rochelle could, but I believe it's just because we started with, you know, phasing out the divisional account.
Oh, yeah, probably so. Okay. Thank you. It's a lot of numbers, you know. This is from January. So, yeah, that would be it. Okay.
All right, very good. Chairman Mortensen or Vice President Mortensen has his hand raised electronically, so please go ahead.
Thank you, President Martin. I just wanted to point out a little silver lining, change in net assets for the agency for the month of January for the regional division was $1,269,000 positive. And year to date was $8,686,000 positive, and much better for the retail portion, where for the month of January, our positive change in net assets was $3,686,000, and for the year to date was $23,216,000. So, despite headwinds and some difficulties in our receivables, the agency is doing quite well and on our way to a solid financial position for the year.
Very good. Thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion for approval of 5.4.
So moved.
Motion by Director Planbeck, I believe. Do we have a second?
Second.
Jerry seconds.
Second by Vice President Gladbeck. Are there any public comments on this, April?
No, there is not.
Very good. Would you please call the roll for the vote?
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Olsohofsky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Item 5.4 passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would normally go to item 6, but item 6.1 has been pulled, so we can just move on over to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone, you're up again.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, we kind of hit on one, which is we've been, among all the other things we're doing, we're definitely busy on engaging in various aspects of efforts to recover costs for water contaminants and addressing those in our system. So wasn't intending to get into a lot of detail just because they tend to be legal proceedings that do have some degree of discretion around them, at least until we get to a point where there's some kind of settlement or outcome we can discuss. And if need be, we'll engage the board in closed session discussions. But I do appreciate Director Planbeck's request, because I just approved another invoice during this meeting. And they are always, knuckle clenchers when you do that. I will just comment on a couple of other kind of thematic areas. It's an unprecedentedly busy legislative season, and uncharacteristically for the state side, funding is kind of in play. Traditionally, in the last couple of decades, the funding discussion is usually centered around maybe one bond issue vehicle, or maybe two, sometimes a a kind of a voter initiative version and a legislative version. Sometimes there's a convergence of those and sometimes there isn't. This year, with the overlay of the various COVID relief packages and stimulus efforts that have come to pass, there are multiple vehicles and multiple parties promoting the idea of water-related budgetary actions to provide funding for infrastructure, offsetting COVID impacts to water agencies and customer assistance as well. So those have been discussed to some degree. I wasn't really teeing it up for a big discussion tonight, but I just want to note that that is really active right now. And I think our staff and our advocates are in the trenches doing good work. I did have an opportunity last week to get on a call that was orchestrated by CSDA, and that was a first for me. CSDA's legislative reps reached out to a number of managers in the Ventura, LA area for a call with Assemblymember Martinez Valadares, legislative director, to kind of just brief him on what kind of assistance has come to date from the state and federal government and how that's mostly been limited to states and cities or counties and not so much special districts, and what some of the needs were. So I thought we had a very productive call on that. And we also had an opportunity through our federal advocate to have a call with Senator Padilla's office and kind of introduce ourselves to his staff as well. Also last week, again, well documented in the news clips, the state Senate put together a water funding package that includes provisions for a number of those issues. It's you know, we can probably hold the detailed discussion for the upcoming legislation outreach committee this month, where you'll hear from our real experts. But I will just say my take on it is, you know, there is an all hands effort, AQUA, CSDA, CMUA, you know, all these different water related or water connected organizations, as well as the usual, you know, agencies that are active in that field, trying to promote the idea that some funding for projects, that this kind of nexus of COVID relief and drought mitigation is coming together. And the Senate package certainly kind of puts one of the planks down. There, you know, the Assembly would need to weigh in, and there's a usual conferencing process that happens. And the governor, you know, would probably be signaling through his office, you know, what would be acceptable. So the thinking is there will be some kind of a package, and we are actively providing information about our list of potential projects in whatever arena we can. And it's I kind of likened it to, if you recall going to the fairgrounds in days of yore. I used to go to the state fair in Sacramento where I grew up, and one of my favorite games was that little horse thing with the mechanical horses that go across, and you're firing your water pistol or whatever. Maybe sometimes it was a you know, pellet gun or pea shooter or something, and when it would hit the target, you know, the horses would move faster and you never quite knew which horse was going to finish. So I liken what we're doing right now with our staff and our advocates is just trying to fire as many shots as at those horses as we can, in hopes that the one that gets across the line will include some funding for one of our projects. So just want to point that out. It's a really interesting process, and it's very unusual at the state level to have that happening. It almost feels like a federal process in that respect, probably a one-time thing, you know, that this year there's just so much funding flowing into the state for relief, that they're trying to find ways to put it to good use and do so quickly. I'll just also note, earlier today, I don't know if it's been forwarded yet, but I had an opportunity at the very timely reminder of Director Cawley to finish a task I was given last December, which was to put together a set of goals for next year, so that those could be used in my performance evaluation. So I had every good intention of getting that done right away, and then busyness happened and it got sidelined. Anyway, I was able to, upon getting a reminder of that last week from President Martin at the behest of Director Cawley, spend some time putting together that list of goals. And it's you'll see the transmittal of it. It's really, again, I think it's always an interesting thing for a general manager to put goals forth. They're somewhat organizational and they're somewhat individual, and they're not exhaustive. So we have a strategic plan and a budget with many different activities and goals. So I've tried to kind of pick what I think is a pretty representative sample of the scope of different activities that we're trying to move forward and complete this year. And you can take a look at that I'm not sure, President Martin, if you in your busyness before the meeting had a chance to send it yet or not, but it'll be coming shortly. And then we can reference that at the end of the year when we do an evaluation. I found the process was helpful too, just in kind of pulling it all together in my mind of all the different things that are going on. And it's certainly, and I would not want to represent that as 100% my effort. This stuff is always dependent on the many people who work on these things and have the expertise. But I think it gives the board an idea of some of the things that at least I feel are important initiatives that we're trying to move forward. So with that, I think I'll stop for tonight's update.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Stone. Just to respond to your comment about the goals, I did receive it this afternoon. I haven't distributed it yet to the board, but I will do so as soon as I have a chance to get through it and perhaps share it with the board leadership team to make sure we've got everything covered. And then I will definitely distribute it to the full board with your personal comments, I think, which are very helpful in supporting what has been put together. So thank you on that. So any other questions from directors on Mr. Stone's report? Seeing none, I see one from Director Ozahowski.
Mr. Stone, was wondering what's the status on the water quality laboratory regarding the certification process? I know there's a little update on page 135 of our board packet. Has there been more development regarding that?
Certification or inspection that had to happen took place, their findings were given, and we did real well. They had a few little things they wanted us to change in the technical processes that we follow, the write-up and so forth. So that is all being finalized and is essentially in queue for the ELAP, certification to happen, which, we don't have any really good control over, but we would anticipate that we could have something in place and be complete with that process within the next 1 to 2 months.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Are there any other questions regarding Mr. Stone's report? Seeing none, April, are there any public comment on item seven?
No, there is not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. You have 3 reports in your packet. So I'd ask, are there any questions on the reports, or if the respective committee chair wants to add anything? And then I will ask for public comment. Any questions from the board or any comments from the committee chairs? Seeing none, April, do we have any public comment on item 8?
No, there is no public comment.
Very good. We move on to item 9, written reports for informational purposes only. In your board package, you will see that there are 5 written reports. Are there any questions on any of the reports before I ask for public comment? Director Armitage has her hand raised, so please proceed.
Thank you. I have one question and one comment. The question is for the Finance Administration and Information Technology section report. Let's see. On the bottom of page 125, the first page of the memo, it talks about that the staff is currently developing a process and mechanism by which inquiries and protests to the proposed retail water rate plan will be tracked and validated. My question is that separate from what the ratepayer advocate is doing, or is that what the ratepayer advocate is doing?
Mr. Campbell.
That is separate. The protest instructions are on the 218 notice, and they come in essentially to the board secretary, April, and she has been collecting those, and we are in the process of accumulating those.
So are those considered the written protests, or is those?
Yes. Okay. Those are written protests.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I did have one more comment on for the water resources and outreach section report. Let me get there. Notes. Okay. On the last page, which is page 148 of the packet, let's see. Oh, it was just a comment. I saw that the social media posts for the 2 public meetings, the ones for tomorrow and May 6th, I think they were posted yesterday. And my comment is I think it would have been nice to have seen it go out more than 48 hours before the public meeting dates. I just feel like that was really short notice for the public. That's my only comment on that. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the board on item 8? Thank you. Seeing none, April, are there any public comments on, this is item 9, by the way, I'm sorry. Any other public comments on item 9?
There is not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 10. I need to update the board on a number of items. Special board meetings. There will be 2 public hearings held on May 27th, 2021. One for the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the other for an addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. These public hearings will be adjourned and continued to June 16th, 2021 for further discussion and adoption of both the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan. There will be 2 public hearings held on June 9th, 2021 to address both the adoption of the Water Shortage Contingency Plan and the other approving an ordinance for water conservation and water shortage. The Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting scheduled for that night will be canceled. And then on regular board meeting notes, on the May 18th, 2021, regular board meeting may be canceled. You will be notified of that. There will be a public hearing at the regular board meeting on June 15th, 2021 to consider adopting the retail water rates. There are a couple of events I'd like to point out. One is the Aqua 2021 Virtual Spring Conference, which will be May 12th through May 13th. And the 11th annual State of the County will be held at Six Flags Magic Mountain on July 28th at 4 p.m. More information to come on this event. And that concludes my report. Are there any questions or any public comment on this, April?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Director Plamba.
I'm wondering why we are doing an addendum to the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan.
Well, if Mr. Marks is on, or perhaps I saw Joe Byrne come online. So whoever wants to respond to that question, please do so.
I can take a first cut. This has to do with adopting a plan or adopting an amendment so that we're in compliance with the Delta Stewardship Council's requirements that we show reduced reliance on the Delta. This was an optional thing to do in for the 2015 plan. Since then, there's been quite a bit of discussion on just how one would do that. And then also, there's been litigation that has occurred that made it obvious that one would need to show reduced reliance in order to allow certain projects to move forward to be approved by the Delta Stewardship Council. And the best practice that's been identified is to go back and adopt an addendum to the 2015 plan that shows kind of the base case that you're working from to demonstrate reduced reliance on the Delta.
Can you tell me what the litigation was and I had another question too. I'll think of it probably after you tell me that.
I'm not. But basically that there was a challenge to on a number of things that dealt with the Delta Stewardship Council's adoption of its Delta plan. And I'd have to get back to you with much more on the specifics.
Okay. So it was against the Delta Stewardship Council then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so a number of parties, both NGOs and water agencies objected to the plan as it was adopted.
I remember the other question. It was, who was it that said that we have to go back and do an addendum to the 2015 plan? Where did that come from? You said that it was somebody that directed this the best way to handle it, and I didn't quite understand who it was.
I think it's a conclusion from, amongst others, council for the various state water project contractors.
And I believe
go ahead, Joe. You're
yeah, I guess I'm having a little trouble understanding why you'd have to go back to amend something from 2015 is all. I mean, what good is that going to do? We're not going to use that plan anymore, are we?
It's being large part driven by an insistence by Delta Stewardship Council staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Director Plamba, I think Dirk is correct. It's Delta Stewardship Council staff as well as DWR. And it has to do with having a showing of reduced reliance over an extended period of time. So there's some feeling that if you don't go back and amend, then it could open folks up to some potential arguments that they haven't been compliant in the past. So it's DWR and the Stewardship Council, and there's been a lot of back and forth, and this is kind of the recommended approach.
Okay, and has that amendment been released as well as the Urban Water Management Plan? Because I saw the announcement on the Urban Water Management Plan, but I didn't see any mention. This is the first I've heard of an amendment.
I think that the press release talked about the amendment and the actual adoption of is in one of the appendices of the urban plan. I'm certain of that. And basically what the amendment will be is for the 2015 plan to adopt that same, the material that's in the appendix in the 2020 urban plan dealing with reduced reliance on the Delta.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I appreciate understanding all of that.
Very good. I see Director Bronstein has her hand raised. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi. So thank you, Director Planback. I had a similar question because I feel extremely uncomfortable voting on an amendment of something that I wasn't even part of the 5 years ago. But I'll look into that and read that. But I wanted to ask President Martin if there was a way for us to get a written summary of your report, so we can have all the dates and stuff and all the information properly stored.
If April, can you send those dates around to the board members?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just figured.
And it should all be on everybody's calendars.
I know, but I'm scribbling down like to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And I'm like, it seems like he has a list that he's reading it off. If we could get that list, that would be extremely helpful.
Absolutely. Yes. I'll send that out tomorrow.
April,
or today.
Send it out. Okay. Very good. Any other questions before I ask for public comment? I think I already asked for public comment, actually.
We do have public comment, President Martin.
All right. Very good. Let's move to public comment.
Ms. Fortner, hold on just a moment while I share my screen.
It's just a quick question, April. I was going back through the director reports and going back through old agendas, and I was looking to see if there was a special dispensation given to directors during COVID, whether they were working in state or out of state. And I'm just wondering, I don't see Director Colley on many of these meetings, and I'm just wondering if he's actually even in the district or if he's out of state. So I went back through all of the reports and all of the agendas and looked to see if I could find if there was special permission given to where you could attend these meetings from, whether if you were on vacation or extended vacation, and I couldn't find anything. And so my question is, was that discussed? Was there an agenda item for that, or was there a director report for that? And I'm just wondering why we never see Director Colley. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fortner, for your comment. Director Colley is complying with all of the executive orders issued by the governor, and he's attending meetings remotely, as all of us are allowed to do so. So unless Mr. Byrne has another comment, that should take care of that.
Yeah, I know that. I have no comment.
That's accurate. Very good. Thank you very much. We can now move on to item.
President Martin, it is up to you if you'd like to take Ms. Fortner again.
Yeah, because that doesn't answer my question, because Fortner, I know that at 6:34,
President Martin, did you want to go ahead and entertain another public comment from Ms. Fortner?
Go ahead.
Okay, Ms. Fortner.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. If you were out of the district more than 180 days, then, you know, that you would have to give up your seat. And so I'm just wondering if that is an issue here and if we should look into it. I mean, I have no problem, you know, looking into it. So just wondering if there was special dispensation given.
There have been no special dispensation given.
Okay. Okay, so we don't know if he's in his district or not.
I can't respond to that.
President Martin, I'm happy to follow up with you, Ms. Fortner, after the call. Director Cawley is in compliance with our act, especially obviously given the governor's emergency order and how proceedings have been occurring remotely for some time now. If you'd like to follow up with me in more detail, I'd be happy to outside the meeting.
Very good. Thank you. I think we are done with item 10. We can move on to item 11, AB 1234 reports. You have a number of AB 1234 reports in your packet, and I think some others were posted online. Are there any other AB 1234 reports that directors would like to provide at this time?
President Martin, this is Jerry. Yeah, I also attended part of the cyber security webinar. And unfortunately, because of security on their end, it didn't get started till late. And I had a bailout early to attend a board of directors meeting of NWRA. But I was really impressed as to how they respond, you know, to a call. They grab their bags and are on a plane and going. So it was very informative. And I appreciated the other write-ups on that program. Thank you.
So, hold on. April, did you get a date on that from Vice President Gladby?
I actually do have that date.
Oh, you do have it? Okay. All right. So, Director Armitage was the next one with the hand raised. I'll get to Director Atkins and Director Cooper in a moment. Go ahead, Director Armitage.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with Vice President Gladbach that the cybersecurity webinar was highly informative. And I wanted to mention that in my AB 1234 report, I actually inserted some questions that came up in my mind as I was listening to, oh gosh, hang on.
You're muted, Director Armitage.
Okay, do you hear music?
Yes. No. Now you're muted again. Kathy, you're muted.
Okay, I think I fixed it. I'm so sorry. Okay, so embedded into my AB 1234 report about the cybersecurity webinar, I had some questions that came up specifically about whether or not our agency was tapped into some of these information sources or knew about some of these free resources that the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security offer to agencies. So I was wondering if perhaps somebody in the IT department wouldn't mind taking a peek at my AB 1234 report. And I don't know if it'd be appropriate to answer some of my questions at some point, no rush. But I'd just be curious to see if they would have time to respond to those. So that was the first thing. And then second thing, I wanted to add that I also had a one-on-one meeting with General Manager Stone on April 16th. So I'm doing my verbal report now. And just generally, we discussed COVID-related issues, the drought action plan, and workforce recruitment and retention issues. So I wanted to report out on that as well. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Cooper, you have AB 1234.
Yes, I just wanted to make comment on the Southern California Water Coalition's program, the Drought Are You Ready program. Yeah, it was pretty basic, but what I really found in that is a good feeling about how the agency, our agency, has responded to the drought and how well prepared we are. It really brought to mind that we've been way ahead of the curve in getting ready for these things. And I was, it was good to see that. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Atkins, you have a report.
Yes, I too attended the AQUA CCWUC educational program on cyber attacks. There were two excellent presentations by, as I recall, FBI agents. And I really appreciated the scenarios that were directed at water agencies. In other words, there were like 2,000 attacks a day across the nation, cyber attacks a day. And what I pulled away from or took from that whole session was the scenarios they presented on specific water agencies, some of which were similar to our water agency, and how these people get in. And it's timely that we did the know before training, and I was able to do it just before. So that helped. And I'm, you know, my hat's off to Chris Perez and the IT work he's doing. I mean, we've had very few foul ups in all the time we've been doing this. And I'm proud of the IT group we have working at Santa Cruz Valley Water. So, and I also attended the Are You Ready? And I agree with Mr. Cooper, it was rather basic, and I'm proud of SCV Water again for how prepared and resilient we truly are when it comes to water availability. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Atkins. Are there any other 1234 reports tonight? Seeing none, April, are there any public comments on item 11?
There is not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 12, director reports. Do we have any director reports tonight? I don't see any hands raised, so there'll be nothing for the public to comment on at this time. We move on to item 13, director requests for approval for event attendance. Do we have any requests for event attendance from the board tonight? Seeing none, we can move on to item 14, director requests for future agenda items. Do we have any director requests for future agenda items? I see Director Armitage has a hand raised. Go ahead, Director Armitage.
Thank you. One of the ongoing discussions that we've been having in the Public Outreach and Legislation Committee is the issue of ratepayer assistance. And I just wanted to mention that in one of the newsletters that was forwarded to, I believe, all the board members, I think yesterday, it highlighted an article about what Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District is doing in putting together a ratepayer assistance program for their customers. And they're using, I guess, the lease money from the cell tower payments that they're receiving. So I just wanted to, I know this wouldn't be for the board necessarily, but perhaps this can be brought forward for discussion in the Public Outreach and Legislation Committee for consideration as we have those ongoing discussions. And then the second and last item I have here is, I want to preface this by saying I recognize how full everybody's plates are at the water agency. So this is not a suggestion for the immediate future, but something perhaps to think about if you haven't already going forward, perhaps starting next year after a lot of the major deliverables are done and submitted. But I was listening to a discussion by a director in another water agency close by, and they have a water ambassadors program for public citizens to take part in, which I thought was really interesting. And it's a 4-session series. Three of them are 2 hours long, kind of classroom style. And it seems like the last one is kind of a little bit more of a field trip. So I don't know what the budget would be for that. I don't know what the interest is in for staff, but I think that would be kind of really cool to offer to our customers and ratepayers for those that are interested. Again, looking into the future, nothing to take on right now because I know everybody's plates are super full, but I thought that was an interesting idea.
Very good. Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Ozahosky, you have a item to mention.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily an agenda item, but I was wondering if I can get a copy of our contract with our waste vendor that takes our ion exchange beads from the PFAS mitigation project. I don't know if that's an item for Mr. Byrne or for Mr. Cole, but I was wondering if I can get a copy of that.
Did you get that, Mr. Cole? Or Mr. Byrne, or Mr. Stone.
Or Mr. Stone, yeah.
Yes, I did get that. And we will,
okay.
I'll inquire with Mr. Alvord on what we have in that regard.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Are there any other requests for future agenda items tonight? Seeing none, I would ask April, do we have any public comment on item 14?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 15, which is adjournment, and it's long been established. We don't need a vote for that. So thank you all for your participation. Have a great evening and great to see you all. Stay safe. Even if we're going to open up further, please stay safe. Thank you. And good night.
Good night. Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks.
Night.